You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in. It's your Wednesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Aki and Tim Leonard. We've got you every single weekday here on the show. And you can also find us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse. Tim, we got a football heavy show on deck today. We've got a commitment to talk about to the Orange, another one added to that class of 2022. We'll get to all things Quan Peterson later on in the program. But we start with this. A couple of rankings have come out of ACC coaches about where each of them stacks up in the conference. And the returns are not very glowing for our guy Dino Babers. CBS Sports, Sporting News, each have put Dino Babers as the worst coach in the ACC. And to that, I can't really say I agree, but what did you think when you hear that he is the worst coach in the ACC?
So when you were the one who texted me this and you said, have you seen these rankings? Dino is rated as the worst coach in the conference. And I even teased it on yesterday's show when we were wrapping up, and I said, well, we'll get into that, like, see if I agree or disagree. And I was almost sort of assuming I was going to disagree, right? Like, when I first hear it, it's rough. I went through all the coaches, and I gotta say, as much as it pains me to say this, he might be, objectively, right now, the guy that you have to put 14th out of 14. Just because the other coaches in the conference have a little bit more going for them. The only guy that I think is close is Justin Fuente of Virginia Tech. They have just not been good since he's...
Okay, I've got a couple names.
Okay, yeah, throw out some names that you had, because that was the guy that came closest to me.
Because here's my stance on it, all right? I do not think he is the worst coach in the ACC. I think he is coming off the worst season and the worst coaching job in the ACC from a season ago, but if you're talking about composite of what you're going to get coach to coach, I don't think he is 14. Out of the 14-team conference. So here's what I would put. Here are some of the names I would group in with him, okay? Jeff Collins, I think, is someone from Georgia Tech. I actually didn't even have Justin Fuente in mine. But Jeff Collins is through two seasons now at Georgia Tech and has gone 3-9 and 3-7.
Yep.
So I'm not very high on Jeff Collins right now.
The thing with him is... is recruiting. He's done a great job on the recruiting trail.
He has done, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think this was more of a wins and losses sort of deal. And how do you maximize the talent that is on your roster? That's, to me, what I kind of view these rankings as.
Okay, I included recruiting a little bit. And that's why, for me, Justin Fuente, his last two recruiting classes, 24/7 sports rankings in the ACC, are 14th, dead last, and 10th in the ACC. If you're at Virginia Tech and you're recruiting like that, and you're not winning, they've had two losing seasons in the last 3 years. For Virginia Tech, I think that's just pretty weak.
A school that has historically
been great. Yeah, so I included recruiting, so that makes sense that you had a different sort of candidate list pertains to the peers of Dino Babers. Because if you're looking at just wins and losses, Jeff Collins is hard to argue that he should be above anyone when you win six games in two years.
I mean, even Dino Babers, his first two seasons got him 4-8, 4-8. And
yeah.
And with some banner wins, too, Clemson and that win over Virginia Tech as well. So I put Jeff Collins' name in there. I think that's one that needs to be looked at as Dino Babers. I mean, this is a guy who is one drive away from winning the Atlantic and going to the ACC championship game. So he has some very good wins to his name throughout his Syracuse career. Another one I want to throw in there, actually two I'm going to throw in there, that I don't necessarily believe are worse than Dino Babers, but maybe should be getting a little more attention as worse than Dino Babers or in that same grouping. If we were to tier coaches, I think they're kind of outkicking their coverage, but Manny Diaz and Dave Cutcliffe. I know we talk about Dave Cutcliffe a lot on this program and how he does developing quarterbacks, but outside of that,
yeah, I think
what
he's
has
overrated.
He really done?
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
you look at his track record at Duke. I mean, he's coming off a 2-9 season, and then before that, a 5-7 in the full season. Had a little stretch of bowl game success, but I mean, he came onto the scene, 4-8, 5-7, then 3-9, back-to-back 3-9s. That's how you differentiate the basketball schools from the football schools. And obviously Duke is a basketball school first, but you go 4-8, 5-7, 3-9, 3-9. How do you have a job after that?
Right.
Like, seriously, I don't get that.
Yeah, well, Dino, I guess, wasn't that far off. The only thing is he just has had that one great year. So it's how much do you value that one great year? I do think David Cutcliffe is a little bit overrated. The narrative has always been, oh, it's so hard to win at Duke. Duke is so tough. It's a basketball school. How do you get guys there? He's the quarterback whisperer. They've had some bowl game success. I think he's a good coach. I know he worked with Peyton Manning a little bit. Like, there's all these narratives around him. I think he's a little overrated when you just look at the wins and losses. If you're that good of a coach, I'd like to see him actually develop more wins with a program that is not good, but has the potential to be a little bit better than it probably is right now. And also, Duke is not going to be good again this year. And he's experimented with calling plays, and that didn't really work. It looks like they're going to go back to an offensive coordinator this year. There is that one thing that he's never had a guy leave the program, which might not be the case anymore, but that was a narrative for a while. He's definitely a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach, though. Like this, I saw CBS Sports, I think, had him, fifth or sixth?
Yeah, fifth. Yeah. And that was down a spot from fourth the year before.
Yeah. So on the other guy, Manny Diaz, Miami, the one thing that I'll say about him that, and this is my biggest knock against Dino right now, Manny Diaz is a defensive mind. Miami, when he was the defensive coordinator the first year he was there, was great on defense. Last year, when he was a head coach, great on defense. He is getting the most out of the area that he is known to be a great offense or a great mind at. Like, he's a great defensive mind. Their defense has been good. Syracuse, Dino Babers is supposed to be a great offensive mind. Their offense had a historically bad year last year.
Right.
Like, literally on paper, one of the worst years recorded in sort of analytical era of college football for offensive stats. And that's the knock on Dino right now, and that's why it's tough for me to elevate him more than, I don't know, 13-12 in the conference when you're going through all the ACC coaches.
But I would counter you with this, and that's that those first three seasons with the offense, when you had Eric Dungy and you had all those receivers too, and I mean, it's not just Eric Dungy, it was Zach Mahoney too getting a taste of it. And even to a degree, a little bit of Tommy DeVito in that 2018 season. That offense was clicking. You were turning guys who were middling three-star guys into All-Americans. And I don't think there are many coaches that can do that.
All right, guys, game one of the NBA Finals in the books. The Suns took it. So now when you go over to betonline.ag, you can bet on the rest of the series and game two as well. Currently, as I look at it right now, Suns -5.5 to win game two at home over the Bucks. They are -330 to win the series on betonline.ag. If you want to get risky and take the underdog, the Bucks down 1-0 in the series going into game two right now. They are +275 odds on betonline.ag. So if any of that sounds intriguing, go over to their website, sign up for a free account today. Just put in betonline.ag, whether it's a laptop or a mobile device, it'll pop right up. And when you go there and sign up for your free account, put in our promo code, LOCKEDON. That's all one word, and it gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Head on over to betonline.ag, sign up for that free account, and put in our promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline.
Now, my case for Dino versus Manny and why I think it's a lot closer than these rankings might suggest is the fact that look what Manny Diaz works with and look what Dino Babers works with in terms of personnel. And to that, if you were to level the playing fields there, I think you would see Dino a lot higher. Now, what does that come down to? It comes down to recruiting. And listen, Syracuse is never going to be able to recruit on par with Miami, right? But you would like to see a few more four-stars sprinkled in on the orange side of things as well.
Yeah. So, by the way, I looked up the 2019 ACC coaches rankings. You want to take a guess at where Dino Babers was ranked in 2019, fresh off the heels of the great 2018 season, 10-3 season?
I'm going to guess he was... I don't want to put this guess out there, But I'm going to. Now, was he like fifth?
He was third in the ACC wow. rankings, according to wow. Athlon Sports. And I don't even want to read the blurb. Fallen. That's twisting the knife. But
No. Read the blurb. I need a little revisionist history here.
Oh, God. Okay, so it's pretty long, but I'll read a SparkNotes version. It starts with, in just 3 years at the helm, Babers has elevated Syracuse into one of the ACC's top teams. This just hurts to read, man. The Orange went 4-8 in back-to-back seasons under Babers, but the foundation set in those 2 years paid off in 2018. It goes on to talk about how Syracuse program's first top 25 ranking since 2001. It says Babers had previously had successful stints as a head coach at Bowling Green and Eastern Illinois. And then this is the one that really is tough. He's also regarded as one of college football's top offensive-minded coaches.
Oh, boy.
Third in the rankings behind, wow, David Cutcliffe, too, back in 2019, and Dabo Swinney, of course, number one. I think now it's Dabo and Mac Brown for sure, yeah, one and two.
One, two,
and
you can't really argue.
Yeah, but gosh, doesn't that sting? I just can't believe, and I guess that goes to show you these lists change, and hopefully we're not doing this next year and we're still having this type of conversation. But you talked about how 2018 the offense was good. It was good. Like, there's no denying that. It was a good offense. I just worry that type of offense is kind of outdated now. Like, no one's really into that stuff. And there's a good quote in the Athlon Sports magazine, the preview magazine this year, where, and you read, like, anytime, we've talked about this, anytime you see another coach or an assistant or something talk about Syracuse, they always bring up how the offense might be outdated and how the offense is just maybe a little too complex for what they have there. And it's tough to run. And when you don't have the offensive line like they haven't, it can really crumble. And that's the stuff that worries me, is I just feel like the offense is maybe not the type of offense that is in the time period right now. Like, at first I thought he was ahead of the time. Now I think we're using an offense that no one else is using anymore. The quote in the Athlon Sports article is just saying, Dino has a lot of respect in our league. I'm not trying to say the issues are internally. It's just that the era of go real fast and throw verts, has sort of run its course for the moment, compounded by the fact that other teams in the league run that system better and with better players. And that's from an anonymous ACC coach of some sort, assistant, mm-hmm. head coach, who knows. But yeah, I don't know. That's my concern.
Yeah, so when they say it's outdated, listen, I'm not the savviest X's and O's guy, right? Never played the game. All that stuff. All right. So I'm gonna lay my resume out there before I say this, but I think the offense, and basically the gauge that I get when I hear these quotes from these different anonymous coaches or scouts or whatever, is that it's not necessarily the offense is outdated. It's just, it's so personnel dependent. And Syracuse, if we were gonna go through the Power Five tiers of recruiting, Syracuse is going to be in that last tier of desirability for location and program and all that stuff. They're in that last tier. So when you cannot get the personnel, it's tough. And if you are going to go through these losing stretches of 3 years without success, 2 years without success, if you're only going to flare up every fourth year, that's not a great way to keep your job. Whereas when Dino is at Bowling Green, he's going up against lesser competition. And at Eastern Illinois, he's going up against lesser competition, where those jobs are stepping stone jobs. And Syracuse, to a degree, is a stepping stone job as well. But when you rely too much on elite-level personnel to run your offense, like if Dino could get the classes that we see North Carolina getting now, and even like what Boston College has lined up for 2022.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. Yeah.
And, listen, I don't want to say Clemson level classes because you'll never get that. But if they were, there's no reason why they can't get a Boston College level class. You are recruiting on the same playing field as they are. And if Dino could get one of those classes and string, I shouldn't say one of those classes. If he could get two or three of those classes, we might see a Syracuse that is really, really good. A damn good team running a damn good offense with elite level personnel. And if he had that, I think his system would work a lot better. We've seen it proven out when he has that sort of personnel and skill on his roster, we have seen the heights of what the offense can look like.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to what we were talking about when we started this podcast over the topic of, do you count recruiting into this conversation of ranking the ACC coaches? And to make sort of a cross-sport analogy, it feels like the way that Shaka Smart went from VCU to Texas, there's a lot of talk or revisionist history now that maybe his system just thrived in sort of lower competition. I mean, his system was predicated on pressuring the basketball, full court pressure at VCU. Goes to Texas, there's just better ball handlers in the Big 12. It didn't necessarily work. We'll see what happens at Marquette now. And he's actually kind of gone away from the system at Texas. I understand that, but I guess the question becomes, was Dino's offensive system just really good at Bowling Green and Eastern Illinois because the personnel he had there compared to his peers was fine and adequate enough to run that offense successfully, and now they don't have the personnel, and he's getting that offense is getting exposed a little bit? And I think it is a little bit of that, and maybe when that's the case, it's time to cut ties with the guy. Like, if, because you have to know that personnel is going to be a challenge when you come to Syracuse. The only way to get personnel is to have a great recruiter or several great recruiters on staff or win football games. And even when Syracuse had the winning season, they didn't really parlay that into a stretch of great recruiting because it didn't really sustain that much. So, I mean, that's the bottom line. They haven't won, so they haven't had the success recruiting that maybe they should have had, and they haven't had the personnel that is required to run his offense well.
And we'll just have to wait and see now, because this, I think in the eyes of both you and me, this is a make or break year. Listen, I'm going to go to bat for Dino and say he's not the worst coach in the ACC, but it's not like I'm trying to put him on the pedestal that he's in the top half either, all right? I threw out a couple names, but even still, he's probably in the 11 to 13 range for me.
Yeah.
Out of 14. I'm not saying he's seventh or fifth or dare I say what we saw a couple years ago where he was as high as third, but he's also, he's not 14th is what I, the crux of what I'm trying to get. I think there's potential there when he's got the personnel, and you just got to hope when the personnel is developed out too. Like, this should be Tommy DeVito's big year, right? He should be, if he is the starter, there are no excuses anymore for Tommy DeVito. You've got a more veteran offensive line. You've got weapons and speed on the outside. You finally have a running game. This is going to be the best running game that Dino Babers has had during his tenure. So you're going to have that balance to the offense. That's something that you and I have always talked about, is that they have had this amazing aerial attack under Dino for a number of years. But can you imagine how much better it could be if they had the ground game to complement it? And they finally have that now. So there are no excuses for Tommy DeVito this season. And who knows? Maybe it will be the season that saves Dino's job.
No doubt. They need to have a good offensive season. Their defense looks good, and we're going to get into a defensive recruit here in a little bit. So we'll continue to talk about how defense is shaping up nicely. But if you're a great offensive mind, then you got to prove it by having more than just one good season and really putting the pieces together. Also, putting the pieces together with your recruits as well. I mean, Dungy wasn't his guy,
right?
And I know it wasn't just Dungy, but still, you kind of have to prove it with your guys as well.
All right, guys, are you looking for a new car part or a way to repair your car right now? Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. It is rockauto.com. Different from the chain store fronts that are often kind of tireless and meaningless exercises, going to those chain store fronts and then getting turned away at the door because they don't have the specific part you're looking for. Instead, skip that step. Go to rockauto.com today. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online now for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. I personally have used RockAuto.com several times now. I can speak from experience, been happy each and every time. And when you go to RockAuto.com today,
Be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, put Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Quick break to tell you about the best protein bar on the market. You know it. It is Built Bar. And guess what? Right now, they've got a limited time flavor. That's right. You got to get in on it this week only. It is the Built Grasshopper Cookie flavor. And this one is just like your classic thin mint cookie, but packed into a Built Bar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. There are so many great flavors of Built Bar out there, but this one in particular, you got to get it on now because it's only available from July 6th through 9th. So get in. Maybe pack it into a mix box as well. There are a number of fantastic Built Bar flavors. My favorite, of course, is the peanut butter brownie. You've heard me talk about that Built Bar on the show all the time. Use Built Bar to train like the pros because Built Bar is now the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's Locked On for 15% off at built.com. All right, let's dive into the recruiting piece for today. Again, a football-heavy show here on this Wednesday, but the Orange added the seventh member of their 2022 class over the weekend. It is Quan Peterson, a three-star cornerback from South Carolina. You know, this is pretty funny. He announced his commitment on an IG Live, and he initially picked up a Georgia Tech hat. It looked like he may be going to an ACC foe. Throws it on the ground, puts on the Cuse hat. It's shades of Cliff Alexander for those who remember that commitment when he thought about, or he picked up the wrong hat at first, picked up Illinois, and then he finally picks up the Kansas hat. So I thought that was really cool. Hopefully they don't play Georgia Tech during Quan Peterson's time at Syracuse because there can be some ill will thrown that way. But this is now, again, we've talked about this. This is a very defensive heavy cycle so far for this Orange team.
Yeah, shades of Micah Salahuddin as well.
On yeah, the other that's right, direction, the Pitt running back,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and so
I think the Syracuse players hold some malice towards that. They didn't like that, I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, no, I think I have heard that a little bit as well. He's a solid cornerback. I mean, his offer sheet, you mentioned Georgia Tech, that's probably the best offer here. Coastal Carolina, App State, Liberty, those are all pretty good non-Power 5 offers. Seems like he took a visit to Marshall as well. He had some interest from South Carolina. I believe he went there and I don't know if he worked out or if he took an unofficial visit or something, but there was definitely some communication between him and his home state school, South Carolina. It looks like there was never a South Carolina offer. So honestly, I hate to say this, but that kind of makes me a little worried that hopefully that offer doesn't come in and that leads to a flip. But by all, I mean, I don't have any intel on that. I'm just saying
all
right
these
now,
SEC offers too. I mean, or not, I should say lack thereof offers, but Tennessee, Kentucky, he had interest, but no offer yet. Virginia Tech, another one. So there are some good schools that were after him, but they didn't necessarily extend the offer yet. Maybe they wanted to see a true high school season too.
Yep, that's true. I think we should feel good. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to flip or something, but that's always a concern when you get a guy relatively early in the cycle and he's got interest from other big-name schools. Seems like he's a great athlete, though. He was a tremendous high school basketball player. He is still as well. So seems like he's a long-rangey outside corner type of guy, and they're looking for longer guys and more athletic guys in that 3-3-5 defense. So this is another win for sure for that secondary group and the defensive staff as a whole.
And we've seen it play out, right? Like with Ife Melifonwu, use the length. Garrett Williams, use the length. And that's the prototype. We talk about it all the time with Syracuse's recruiting for basketball. You want length at the top of the zone. You want length on the wings. You want length at corner, and that's not just a Syracuse thing. That's really just a football thing. When you can get guys who maybe you get beat by a half step, but you've got that extra 2-3 inches on your wingspan, that's the difference between a ball going the distance to the end zone and it's tipped away for an incomplete pass sometimes. And we saw how good Ife was with those attributes. And Syracuse, again, we've seen a prototype of what the successful mold of a Syracuse player looks like defensively, especially in the secondary. There's no reason, if it ain't broke, don't fix it at this point. because those are qualities that aren't just going to help you if you're Syracuse. Those are going to help you across the country and even at the next level as well.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Also, he apparently told the coaching staff on the last day of his official visit, which was on June 25th, that weekend, that Sunday, right before he left, he said, "I'm committing." And he told them, he just kind of kept it under wraps and announced on July 4th. So I think there were some orange emojis that went out, some boom tweets and those sorts from the coaching staff around that time period, and then nothing really came of it. So it could be because of Quan Peterson. But he actually, I don't know if you saw this, Ty, he did some TikToks of his visit. Did you catch this?
Of his what?
Breakdown of his visit to Syracuse.
His
yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not see these.
It's sort of like a vlog thing of the...
Look at you, whole, always social sleuthing. You're on to the new age social sleuthing as well.
Someone
keeping
turned
up with
me
on
to this. I'm not a huge TikTok guy, but I saw it and it was kind of interesting to see from his vantage point. Basically, nothing groundbreaking in it, but it showed him like getting on the plane and then someone picks him up. They bring him to his hotel room. There was some posters and stuff laid out in his hotel room. Then they go to the dome and he said some great stuff about the facilities. And then also there's one part in the TikTok where he goes past the Carmelo Anthony Center and he's just like, look at all the national championship trophy, Carmelo Anthony, like this is really cool. And I think that says a couple things. One, we always talk about how big the facilities is, and seeing a TikTok like this where literally all he was showing me was like the cool stuff in the weight room and the facilities. Like that's a lot of what these kids care about. And that's why the facilities have become such a rat race. But also I saw the Carmelo Anthony stuff and then I saw he's a high school basketball player. So I don't know, maybe that it's something that you don't really think about. Like, oh, these kids play multiple sports and they have multiple interests. Like they might actually sort of enjoy the fact that they know Syracuse as a basketball brand. And maybe he's a fan of Carmelo Anthony, and that helped Syracuse get him as a football player. You never really think about that stuff, but yeah. I saw that, and it kind of clicked for me.
Yeah, it's very true. All right, that's going to do it for us here on this Wednesday episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to get into, with NIL now being passed at the NCAA level, should Jim Boeheim get his wins back? All 101 that have been vacated. We'll get into that tomorrow on the show. Should be an interesting conversation between Tim and I. So we will be with you guys tomorrow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you aren't already. Check us out on Twitter at LO_Syracuse. And we will talk to you guys first thing tomorrow morning.